Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Simon Back from Backsberg Estates in South Africa. How are you, mate?
Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Good, good. That's a very casual how you're doing, mate. I suppose that's from fatalism that you're going to lose the World Cup, isn't it?
No.
Sorry, it's a bit of a mean one to start off.
Can only get better from here.
True. Okay, what we're going to talk about today is a bit about Backsberg, a bit about the history of Backsberg within the wider Stellenbosch Paarl area. Also, a wee bit about Stellenbosch and Paarl. And hopefully we're going to touch on a wee bit about some of the virus issues associated with the wine regions and, you know, what's being done there, how's it being managed, all that sort of stuff. Does that sound all right?
Perfect.
Brilliant. Let's start off with Backsberg, though. Backsberg's been around for a while in one guise or the other. In fact, a different name that got sold off. Dad, do you want to just give a quick overview of the vineyard and winery and the brand?
Sure. So my great-grandfather purchased the property in 1916, and that was after he came out from Lithuania around 1902.
Is that Sydney with a Y?
That's my grandfather. So my great-grandfather, he was called Charles, and we often abbreviated to CL. That's a lot of people called him that. So he purchased the property in 1916, and to begin with, no offense to him, he didn't come from any wine-making background whatsoever.
And he was a butcher, wasn't he?
Yeah, he owned a butchery in a town close by to the farm called Paarl. And the story has it that one day someone came into the butchery and said, well, hey, do you want to buy a farm? And I think he saw it as an amazing opportunity and sold his butchery and bought what is today where Backsberg is.
I'm selling the Brooklyn Bridge if you're interested in that as well.
How much?
£2, right?
Sold. At the time, on the property there was, a number of fruit trees, some peaches and plums, and it wasn't actually planted to vineyard. But at the time, that was kind of the thing that was going on in the area, and he started planting vineyard as well. But it was really my grandfather, Sydney, who, really started getting into producing fine wine and bottling wine. I mean, at the time, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the history of South African wine, but there was
a port.
Well, there was a lot of producers mostly sold their grapes onto, co-ops and what have you, and KWV was kind of the main player at that time. And so it was really in the late 60s and the early 70s where Sydney, my grandfather, started getting into, the idea of bottling and producing great wine. And he built the brand within South Africa and really put Backsberg on the map as such, and I think it's a fairly household name in South Africa at least. And my dad then, Michael, came into the business, and I guess post 1990 and 1994 he's taken Backsberg abroad into some of the export markets, and now there's yours truly, so no pressure on me.
The original winery wasn't called Backsberg though, was it?
Correct.
What was it called?
So the property itself is called Klein Bubbelandsturen, and that's the historic name of the farm. And then we originally started with a label called Backs Wines, which then my grandfather sold, and then we started with the brand name Backsberg.
Mm-hmm. I saw on your website it was described as the best thing he ever did at the time.
Yeah, I think at the time, he gotten involved in many different businesses, and I think he wanted to have like a clean start, so he sold that, and he obviously made some money from that, and then really invested that into building Backsberg as a brand.
And moving forward, let's talk about Backsberg, where it is in the coastal region.
Sure.
First of all, where is the coastal region in South Africa?
Yeah, coastal can be it's actually a bit of a confusing geographic unit in the sense that it encompasses a number of different areas, which some of them are actually hardly coastal in nature, and I think that can be a bit confusing. But that the coastal area would include the likes of Stellenbosch, the likes of Paarl, the likes of Franschhoek. But we are, the vineyard essentially is located in the area closest to Paarl, and the specific ward, which is kind of a subsection of Pal, is Simonsberg Pal. The Simonsberg being a mountain that the farm is situated on.
Is that like a geographical indicator that they're introducing in Australia?
Well, I mean, you know, the wine of origin system has been around in South Africa for many years now. And I think it's really great as far as, you know, getting a sense of where the properties are.
Simonsberg Pal, is that
It's a ward, basically. It's kind of the lowest, the most specific, if I can say.
Okay, so, do you write Simonsberg Pal on your wine?
So if all the grapes are from that particular area, then we would normally call it Simonsberg Pal. But in a weird sense, labeling it coastal can actually, it sometimes gives people a better sense of the wine, you know, and it sometimes can be seen as more favorable as well. You think coastal, you think maybe cool climates, you know, so it's a little bit tricky, and sometimes depending on what we want to do, we'll go either way.
What is the climate like? Because you've got Stellenbosch and Pal, and your winery seems to be almost midway between Stellenbosch and Pal.
Yeah, we sort of we're in the middle of sort of Pal, Stellenbosch, and Franschhoek. As far as climate is concerned, we're the farm or the property and the vineyards are situated, you know, on the slopes of the Simonsberg Mountain. So fortunately, it's a little bit cooler. We get some nice breezes coming through there. But I mean, Stellenbosch and Pal and Franschhoek, for that matter, can get quite warm.
Yeah.
You know, especially on some of the valley floors, you know, it can get quite hot. But I mean, it's largely Mediterranean, you know, in nature.
And the grape varieties, obviously, Chenin Blanc to me must be South African's grape variety. You know, I know it's grown in the Loire, but I always associate Chenin Blanc with South Africa, just like you associate Malbec with Argentina and things like that. But it's not really a grape variety you guys have embraced and sort of said this is our future, even though I sort of have a strong association with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Chenin Blanc has always been the sort of workhorse of South African white varieties. You know, it's hugely versatile. You can basically grow it anywhere, and it produces a wide variety, you know, of styles of wine. I think, you know, people are now starting to take it more seriously, and there's some very interesting, you know, Chenin Blanc coming out of South Africa, and I'm sure the Chenin Blanc guys would say that, you know, maybe this is the future for South Africa. We'll have to see.
Syrah seems to be quite popular as well. A lot of people bigging up Syrah out of South Africa.
No, for sure.
And I've had some pretty decent Savvies, not as good as New Zealand, obviously, but...
Yeah, Shiraz is definitely picking up in South Africa. I think there's a lot of good examples coming out, and also, you know, kind of a variety in styles. Well, you know, some very Rhone-like Shiraz is coming out, and then, you know, right through to the kind of more bolder fruit-driven styles as well.
Sure. And obviously Pinotage, synonymous really with South Africa. Is Pinotage in South Africa considered quite a good grape variety?
You know, Pinotage is always a tricky one. I mean, it's people have a bit of a love-hate relationship with the grape. You have people that are, you know, championing it. I mean, here in London, I've chatted to a few people and they just love Pinotage. But then you'll chat to the next person and they just completely despise it. So it doesn't have a lot of middle ground, as it were. I mean, in South Africa, you know, there's a number of producers that have backed it. And I think it can produce great wine. I think one of the issues sometimes is that the Pinotages are drunk too young. And I think with a bit of age, they can definitely improve and, you know, can produce some really strong wine.
Do you see a difference in style or flavors from cool to hotter climate regions in South Africa?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to manage, you know, the grapes, and, you know, sometimes when Pinotages become a bit overripe, the issues that arise. But I think for me, the biggest thing is the aging and how you do that. For me, I prefer some of the lighter styles of Pinotage, the more fruit-driven. Sometimes they can be a bit over the top, and I'm not wild about that style.
One of the things I think some people don't like about Pinotage is that it can often have a greeny, rubbery note to it. And I used to always associate Pinotage with that rubbery note.
Sure.
We did an interview with a guy called Simon Harrop. He's the Faults man at the IWC, and he sat down with me and said, no, that's not a rubbery characteristic, it's not pinotage, it's a green character associated with vines that are really struggling and shutting down mid-season. Is that your interpretation of some of those notes?
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe you're alluding to like the issues of virus that are in South Africa. I mean, just to give your listeners a sense of what that is. I mean, in the late 90s, or the sort of mid 90s, I think, you know, South Africa saw that there was a huge opportunity. You know, now we could suddenly export wines, and I think there was just a rush to plant different varieties. And I think some of the quality control at the nurseries was perhaps not quite up to scratch. And I think, you know, there was plant material that went out that wasn't 100%, and now we have what's called leaf roll virus, and basically that inhibits the vine's ability to photosynthesize and ripen the grapes, and hence you can get, you know, some of these green characters coming through.
Is it leaf roll? Because I haven't actually had anybody from South Africa admit to it. They all go, no, mate, what do you mean? No, there's no problem here. It's a terroir.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm involved in marketing, but I mean, I think that might be spin. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the issue is being brought under control. I mean, there's a lot of replanting that's gone on. You know, some guys have had to actually, you know, spend quite a bit of money. They planted a vineyard. They thought it was, you know, it was strong. And then just when it was, you know, supposed to be coming into prime, you know, then it hit issues as far as virus is concerned. But, it has been an issue without a doubt. I'm not going to deny that.
Is leaf roll contagious? If you've got two vines beside each other, will the one that's clean get infected? Or is it more of a... In the DNA almost of the
plant. I mean the big issue is actually in the plant material itself, you know. So it's, you know, I mean, I think there's different views on this as well, but you know, I wouldn't say it's contagious as such.
Okay, so if you've got a vineyard that's got three or four different grape varieties in it, and one variety is diseased, then you won't necessarily expect it spreading.
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, and then you can just replant the dodgy bits. And has that all been clean? I mean, has the nursery's been cleaned up now? And
yeah, I think it's vastly different to what it was sort of mid-90s, definitely.
Okay, and how much plant... Because people call it the coastal taste, really. They sort of... Some people have described it as the coastal terroir region's taste.
Yeah, I guess also varying definitions on terroir, but yeah.
Yeah. So in terms... I was reading... Oz Clark's wine atlas last night about coastal region, and he seemed to think that some of the growers are actually changing their viticultural practices to try and use the fact that the vine shuts down to actually increase hang times and things like that.
Yeah.
Is that something you're aware of, and do you think that works?
You know, at least from our own experience, it's not something that we involved in. But I mean, you know, I guess once you've got, you know, a vineyard that's possibly affected with virus, then I think you have to do the best to manage that, you know. So I'm sure there must be work going on as far as trying to get the best out of the vineyard. So, I wouldn't disagree with that, but I'm not familiar with specific techniques that are going on. But I'm sure that there are producers that are trying to, use it to the advantage.
Yeah, for me, I read it as a sort of a greeny note, sometimes a rubbery note in the wine, but it also affects tannins and acidity as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we'll move off there because it's not, you know, it's very good that you've actually spoken about it, because many South Africans sort of take the approach it doesn't exist and it's no problem, mate, you don't know what you're talking about.
No, I mean, I think that would be would be denying that something that definitely does exist, but you know, like I said, I think it's being brought under control. So that's the key thing, really.
And I have, I must admit, my favourite Pinotage I've ever had is actually from New Zealand.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had a really good one from Babbage Wine Cellars in Auckland. And it's really good. And I enjoyed it more than any South African one.
Now the question is, did you taste that blind? Is my question. Did you taste the Pinotage blind?
No, but to be honest, it didn't taste anything like a Pinotage. It was just a nice... red, fruity wine with a lot of weight to it. It had lost, didn't seem to have any varietal character that I could discern anyway, but it was quite enjoyable.
I'll have to try that.
Next time, when you're out in New Zealand watching the World Cup, you can
We'll crack open a bottle of New Zealand Pinotage.
Are you going out for the games? Or
we'll have to see. We'll have to see if I can convince my father to sponsor a few tickets to New Zealand.
I imagine New Zealand's not a key market for you guys.
No, but it's not huge, no.
But research is important when opening up.
Terribly, got to go see what those guys are doing with their Pinotage. No?
Well, there you go, you see. There you go. You got a reason for it. Okay, getting back to South Africa and in general, the wine situation in South Africa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the currency, the rand, has had a bit of a roller coaster. For, about 2-3 years ago, the rand was quite cheap again, and we start to see a lot more South African wines coming in. But the rand's been slowly climbing against the pound for the last wee while.
Yeah.
How's that really affected your exports and things like that? Is it an issue? Because at times when the rand's weak, it's great. South Africa's fantastic value. And when it's high, I'm just worried you don't necessarily have the brands to carry the higher exchange rate.
The currency has been a huge challenge for producers the last couple of years. I mean, I'm not sure if it's rand strength or it's sterling weakness, but the rand has been incredibly strong against the sterling, and that's been a challenge for producers because margins have been squeezed. So the last sort of 18 to 24 months with the sort of global economic climate plus the strength of the rand has made it very challenging for sure.
Does that mean you're losing a bit of market share, do you think, or in the UK with the weak pound? It's very hard to work out what's going to substitute.
No, I mean, it's put pressure on that notion of a value offering for sure. I think that's without a doubt. But, as far as losing market share, I think, like I said, it's been a struggle, especially, we're not so involved in the supermarket space. But I think on those, entry point wines and those price points, it's been, guys have definitely lost some ground, I would say.
Yeah, sure. And what about other markets? Has the rand strengthened against other currencies as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's also been hugely strong against the euro as well as the dollar. So, for us, it's been, a global challenge, so to speak. And like I said, combined with the kind of dodgy economic situation, we've had to cycle a lot harder, I would say.
But everything's all going okay?
Yeah, I mean, that's the business cycle. We had a great couple of years, maybe up to the end of 2008, beginning of 2009. So, we have to ride this one out and, hopefully we'll come out stronger at the end.
Fantastic. All right then, Simon, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks a lot.